Senator Obama, this is truly a good day for America. You know, too often the achievements of our opponents go unnoticed. So I wanted to stop and say, congratulations. How perfect that your nomination would come on this historic day. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. But tonight, Senator, a job well done. I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
That's an actual campaign commercial that ran that sums up what you're hearing again and again and again about the character of John McCain. And he, of course, made that legendary concession speech when he lost, about not just congratulating Barack Obama, but getting behind his presidency. And you can argue all you want about how it worked out. It's sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Normally, we talk to Dean at this point, but I really wanted to connect with General Borling. General John Borling is a part of that very small club that none of us would want to be a part of, and that's POWs who served and can only communicate most of the time with taps on the walls. Condolences on the loss of your friend.
Steve, good to be with you this morning on one hand, and kind of sad, obviously, on the other. I know that the clip you played there was telling in terms of the character of John. I was there at the Biltmore that night that he made that concession speech.
All right.
And I had my granddaughter with me. She grew up in Phoenix, and it was going to be a cast of thousands. So as it turned out, it was just me and my granddaughter that went up there, and we were standing very close to the senator when he made that speech. And for whatever reason, although I know the reason, I was all over national TV showing proximity and all of that business over the course of the next day. But it was because I have this knockout, good-looking granddaughter who news guys were looking for some, you know, different thing. And here's this little girl, you know, who's just absolutely gorgeous, looking up with rapt attention to the senator. And I just happened to be standing there. So I was Kirsten's grandfather. But I remember the telling words that night, and both intellectual and the physical kind of burden that concession speech exacted. But of course, John went on and continued to march, which is the mantra that all of us use.
You know, the connection that you all have lasts a lifetime, and others have passed as well from your group. How often were you all able to stay in contact with each other, and not just you and McCain, but the others who still survive?
You know, we have what I will call is a loose but tight association, and as needs be, we connect. I'm probably now on a monthly or quarterly basis talking to two or three guys, but I've lost some good friends. This last month, Tom Browning, class of 64 from the academy, class of 63, lived with Tom. Tom was with John McCain, as I was, as well, later in the incarceration period. And Tom died of cancer just this last month. So, and over the years, I can remember when John was up here in Rockford and we were doing a thing at Memorial Home, and we were talking about the guys that have gone west. And there was a real poignancy in his phrase, especially for some of his Naval Academy buddies. You know, much like I've got the Air Force Academy, and I'm going to be out of my 55th reunion here early days of October.
God bless.
Yeah, it's going to be a great thing. It's a big deal. We'll drink a toast to the fallen, and we'll, in that chapel, you know, that Air Force Academy chapel that is so striking architecturally with all the spires. Do you know it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. It's been over.
Yeah, we still say we don't know whether to pray in it, to it, or for it, but there we are. And so those relations mean a lot. But, you know, when I got called by you to maybe say a few words in the face of so many thousands of words that will be issued about John, I was really troubled to try to, you know, come up with something that would be different and wouldn't just fall into that well of words that some will be so elevated that John would cringe.
Right.
He was very much a realist. Others will you know, they'll run the gamut from the effusive to the critical. And I was trying to figure out what the heck it was that I could say that would make any sense to you and Dave and your listeners. And maybe I came up with it, but we'll reserve a minute or two and see where conversation takes us.
We'll do that when we come back. But I do want to, because obviously I want to hear that. But, you know, I don't know that I've ever asked you this, and I consider you a friend, not just a friend of the show. But what kept you guys going? I mean, I know in your very famous book, Taps on the Walls, memorizing the poetry that you wrote to keep your mind active and also because of your feelings. But McCain, you know, he's viciously beaten. We know stories about the things that you went through. And, of course, you guys don't talk about this stuff unless you get goaded into talking about it. And I respect that as well.
There's a lot of whiskey, involved.
Whiskey. You know? Right, a few shots. But I have to say, it's remarkable to think about because I don't know any of us who could have done it. And I know what you've told me before. You said, look, you got two choices. You live or you die. But what kept you going?
I would describe it to two things. One, we were all cut from a particular piece of cloth called fighter pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a speed as life and indomitable will thing, and without making it sound like some kind of ego trip. But we were very proud of being in that small select group, and there were expectations we had of ourselves and of our fellows. But at the end of the day, the mission was not to survive; it was to survive with honor. We wanted you to be proud of us. It was that simple.
It's amazing.
We couldn't imagine coming back with our head held low and beaten and not being the kind of troops you wanted us to be. We wanted you to be proud of us.
It's General John Borling, and I would urge you to also, when you have an opportunity, sooner than later, go to SOSAmerica.org. It's an organization that's very important to him and ought to be important to all of us, so I have to check that out. Stand by, General. More with General Borling in just a second.
I live alone in the wilderness and pull a sled through the snow until I'm in peak physical condition.
How would that help you win an election?
It won't. But if I ever have to fight Vladimir Putin, I'll be ready.
He was tough, wasn't he? General John Borling is with us talking about John McCain, his friend and fellow POW. General Borling, as most of you know, spent 6.5 years as a prisoner of war as well. They both made it back here to very successful lives afterwards, and we're celebrating the life of John McCain this week. Tell me, you put a lot of thought into this, and you know that's not a prerequisite to be on this show, but what do you want to say about John McCain?
Well, the first thing I'd comment on before I get into that sentiment that I do want to express is that you guys keep playing these stories that John was so fond of telling, these jokes, if you will. He had a great, great sense of humor. I like people who are quick to laugh and can make fun of things. And, you know, he was concerned about the vitality of the Congress. And he used to say, you know, the approval rating for the U.S. Congress is at its lowest rating ever, 9% or whatever it was, single digits. He said, at this point, you know, we're down to blood relatives and paid staff. And but he said so, tongue in cheek, because he really did believe in the institutions of the country. And he was, quote, ascribed to him was that he said, I learned to love my country most deeply when I was in the captivity of another. And I think John's sense of optimism was probably a salient feature in his life, no matter how stacked the odds, that he was going to keep that balance, keep that rosy look on life. He had a lot of, if you traveled with him, as a number of us did on the campaign trail, especially during the presidential campaign, it was refreshing, and especially in the early days when the campaign was, to put it delicately, in the toilet. And we had no money, no buses, nothing. We were all out there in our own cars, and we were, you know, staying at the La Quinta and eating at Denny's and doing all that stuff. And it was great because we'd get together after day's foray out in Iowa and New Hampshire, for example, and we'd have these knockdown, drag out kind of conversations. They'd always end up with laughter and a couple beers, and we'd then gird our loins and get out there the next day. And another favorite story of mine, anyway, under John's, was after the presidential loss, people asked him, how did he feel? And he came up with that old story he used to such advantage about, I went to bed, slept like a baby, sleep 2 hours, get up, cry, go back to bed, sleep 2 hours, get up, cry. Which would be absolutely opposite of his attitude. So you carry those little vignettes with you on the first and the personal moments, and you wish him and the family well. I sent a note along with so many, of course, others who sent notes down to Cindy and Megan, and the nation will fixate, and properly so, on John McCain, the man, the reality, the legends, and it'll all get mixed up. And for those of us who know him personally over an extended period, he'll continue to march with us in our memories and as an example. But I think we're running short on time, but I did want to offer that quote, telling phrase about him. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I got plenty of time for you.
Well, I want to come back, because John talked about, he and I talked a lot about SOS America.
Yeah, of course.
Over South America, which is that bit noir of mine and others. And in fact, if you read the Wall Street Journal today, you'll see that the whole business of national service, military and otherwise, is very much, again, on the lips of and on the minds of people. And this time it's Germany, which used to have a program of military conscription, but does not now. And they're thinking seriously about putting it back in, for the very good reason that it means you can do some nation building in your own nation. You can talk about shared values and experiences. Again, messages that John McCain very much cared about, and that's what service over South America.
And you're always welcome to be here to talk about SOS America at SOSAmerica.org.
Well, I'm probably going to come and just camp out for a week.
I'm telling you. Listen, I'll get out of your way. You know that.
Look, let me offer the phrase.
Please, go ahead.
Well, it's frankly from the foreword that John wrote to my book, and I picked it up. I hadn't looked at it in a long time. But this is testimony to the man in his own words. Quote, "The great honor of my life is to have served in the company of heroes. In captivity in Vietnam, we fought every day to keep our honor intact, our minds sharp, and bodies functional." He goes on and says some very nice things in the foreword to my book. But if you had to capture the spirit of the man McCain, to me, was the recognition that he was one of a very special group. And boy, he was in so many special groups. He was in the Senate, the most exclusive club in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he never lost contact. He never lost that connection to that extraordinary experience that we all did our best to acquit ourselves. So again, I come back so you guys would be proud. Thanks for letting me talk a little bit about John McCain.
Listen, General, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful way to remember your friend, and from one of the best in the Air Force, about one of the best in the Navy. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice, and please give a hug to your lovely wife, Myrna, and tell her I said hello as well.
We will, along with you and your guys there and all the people who are connected with your wonderful show, Steve, continue to march. That's the deal.
Thank you, my friend. General Borling on John McCain.